Thank you for listening to an audio resource from Stanwich Church, located in Greenwich and Stamford, Connecticut. The vision of Stanwich Church is to know Christ and make him known.
The gospel lesson for today is from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 38. This can be found on page 1019 of your pew Bible. Jesus is recognized as God's promised Savior for all people when he is presented at the temple in accordance with the law. A reading from Luke chapter 2, beginning with the 22nd verse. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin. And then, as a widow, until she was 84, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and speak to him, to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Most Sundays, I have a moment where I just look around and I think to myself, how am I so lucky to be here? And even right now, as I look around the room, I'm filled with gratitude. I almost can't believe that this is my life. Being with all of you, preaching about Jesus to our students, working with an incredible team in a place that is filled with the Holy Spirit. It's here that I found a church family, a true family that has supported me, strengthened me, and encouraged me in my faith. And while I am so incredibly grateful to be here, I know this might sound silly, but there is a part of me that feels so undeserving of this blessing. Sure, logically, I can understand how I got here today. I interviewed for the position. I worked hard. More importantly than all of that, I love Jesus and I love this community. But there is still a part of me that feels like this can't possibly be true. And you know, I feel like we do that sometimes. We second guess that God could really provide such incredible things in our lives, especially when we have things that we can be grateful for. Maybe you've been a Christian for a long time. You spent years and years of your life reading through the Bible, reading these huge promises that God has for us. And yet, after all this time, there is still a part of you that doubts it to be true for you. Or maybe you're just starting to explore your faith. You're reading these big things, huge promises of God for the first time, how he strengthens us, guides us, how he's always with us, and you're left scratching your head, thinking, I don't know if this could really be true for me. I think we have an easier time seeing God's promises being true in other people's lives. We look at the other people, we see their lives, and think, well, duh, of course God's promises are true for them. And then we look at ourselves and see the mess, see the imperfections, and think, ah, maybe I am the one exception to God's promise. We disqualify ourselves from accepting and receiving these incredible promises of God. We tell ourselves, I'm too broken. I've done too many unforgivable things. I've been hurt too deeply by the people in my life. I'm too old, or I'm too young for God's promises to ring true in my own story. Maybe you believed in these big promises once, and then something happened. You endured heartbreak or loss. You had big plans for yourself or for your family, and they fell apart. Or you've been waiting and spending years in prayer for something in your life to change and haven't quite seen that yet. As we look into our passage this morning, I want us to think about this one question. What would our lives look like if we believed in the promises of God? Not just for everyone else, but for ourselves. We pick up in our scripture this morning, we're 40 days after the birth of Jesus. Mary and Joseph, they were devout in their faith, and they're bringing Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem for two reasons. The first is for Mary's purification ritual. Back then, when a woman gave birth, they'd have to wait 40 days, then go to the temple to provide an offering so that the woman could re-enter into society and enjoy the full participation in her community again. And the second reason is to present their firstborn son, to present Jesus. This is according to the law of Moses, which required every firstborn male be consecrated to the Lord, meaning that the parents are ultimately acknowledging that this son belongs to God. And it's there in the temple that Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus meet two people waiting on a promise. So let's take a look at verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Simeon was promised by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he saw the Savior. And he was waiting. And we see later in our text of another person, a widow named Anna, who was also in the temple. Both of them waiting for the consolation of Israel, the Messiah, the one who would bring comfort, healing, and deliverance to God's people. And we can gather from our passage that both Simeon and Anna are older in age, meaning they had been waiting for a long time. And this period of waiting for them wasn't a walk in the park. For Anna, she was a widow. Luke tells us that she had only been married 7 years, and her husband passed away. And now she is 84 years old. In the culture at the time, that would have been incredibly difficult. Women were among the widows, were among the most vulnerable and marginalized group because they were largely socially and economically dependent on a man, oftentimes a husband. For Anna, this would have meant decades of living in the margins and living in social isolation. And for Simeon, he had this promise of meeting and seeing the Savior, and yet he had to wait under Roman oppression. This oppression must have been a daily reminder of how much the world needed a Savior. Can you imagine him walking to the temple day after day, and each time thinking, maybe today will be the day I see the Messiah? Simeon, his waiting is active and participatory. He was living his life, righteous and devout, while also waiting for the fulfillment of God's promises. He continued to worship, continued to pray, and continued to trust in God's word. This is an active, hopeful anticipation that God will do what he says he will do, even in the times we don't see it yet. This is the kind of waiting that we are invited into. And yes, this is incredibly difficult. Simeon walked out of that temple not seeing the Messiah for years. This incredible blessing that I have working at Stanwich had its own period of waiting. I almost can't believe I am saying this, but about 10 years ago, I came to Stanwich as a college intern. And it was in that summer that I recognized God made it so clear to me, this calling on my life, to work for this community and to work with our students. So I went back to college, finished up my degree, packed all my stuff up, and then moved back to Greenwich, my hometown, a place that I swore I would never set foot in again, to live out this calling that I felt so confident in. Well, when I came back to Greenwich, the staff here very lovingly told me that there just simply wasn't a position open. See, I had thought that if I was obedient to God, if I lived my life in a way that honored him, that would mean that doors would just fling open for me for the rest of my life. But here I was, facing a closed door. Now, we obviously know the end of the story, because here I am. A position in the student ministry was opened up a few months later, but that period of waiting, I had really tough conversations with God. I felt confused when people would say that this so-called good plan everyone was talking about was happening. I thought, I did all the right things. And here I was, I didn't get what I wanted. And maybe that's where you find yourself in your story right now. Waiting for God to move in a situation or in your life. Especially when we have these deep desires that we long for. This active waiting that Simeon and Anna are demonstrating, it seems impossible. And that's because it is impossible to do alone. In our own strength, we falter. We can't do it. But thankfully, this is not a story about how Simeon is faithful to God. This is a story of how God is faithful to Simeon. Because the Holy Spirit is all throughout this text, all throughout Simeon's story. It tells us that not only did the Holy Spirit reveal this promise to Simeon, but that the Holy Spirit was with him in the waiting. God does not abandon us in our waiting. In fact, he sends his Holy Spirit to guide us and comfort us through the waiting. Now, I will be perfectly honest with you. My periods of waiting aren't always filled with unwavering faith and peaceful patience. My waiting is marked by frustration and doubt and having these real conversations with God. I remember having to cry out to God, "Why not now? Did I hear you wrong? Or maybe you're just not listening." But looking back, those hard conversations were where I felt my faith increase and grow the most. See, it's in the waiting that God met me with his presence. Even if the answers weren't coming right away, it wasn't about God withholding something from me. It was about God preparing something in me. See, he used that time to refine my faith, to build my trust in him, and to increase my dependence on him. And it's in that time of waiting that fully prepared me for what was ahead, to step into this role of ministry. And as the weeks and months passed of waiting, I realized that my waiting had become a sacred place because it was in the waiting that I felt his presence. The Holy Spirit guides us. And the Holy Spirit not only was with Simeon in the revelation and the waiting, but the Holy Spirit was the one that guided him to the temple that day when the promise was fulfilled. Let's keep reading in verse 27. "And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought him in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God." After all these years of waiting, wondering, holding out hope, Simeon is face to face with the Savior of the world. This is the moment he had waited for his entire life. The long-awaited promise, now before his eyes, in the form of a little baby. And as he takes Jesus into his arms, I imagine he is overwhelmed with this profound moment of seeing God's faithfulness come true. The awe of holding the Messiah in his arms and the immense joy as he realizes the enormity of this moment. The consolation of Israel has come, just like God said. Our God is a promise keeper. Think of what that must have felt like for him. I wonder if there is a part of him that wondered, why him? An ordinary person beholding the Son of God in his arms. I wonder if he thought, how am I deserving of this incredible honor? And as Simeon is looking down at the baby Jesus, he is so overcome with emotions that he breaks out into this song, the Nunc Dimittis, where it says, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." After experiencing and being in the presence of Jesus, he sings out to the Lord that he can now die in peace. He has seen the salvation of the world with his own eyes. And what strikes me about this proclamation is he didn't need to stick around to witness the incredible miracles that this baby would grow up to perform, or listen to any of the sermons that this baby would grow up to preach. He saw the Savior of the world. His promise had been fulfilled. And that was enough. And what Simeon does in this text is he's going from talking about this promise that has been made between him and God, and shifts to now talking about a promise that has been made with all of us in God. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. This is a promise to all people, to you and to me, and for generations and generations to come, that this baby would bring salvation to our world. No matter what this year has been marked with, the good, the bad, we always have this promise. The Savior of the world has come. No wonder it says, Mary and Joseph marveled at what Simeon was saying. This is a beautiful confirmation that they are really raising the Son of God, the one who will bring hope and healing and restoration to all people. And yet, in the beauty of this moment, an innocent baby in the temple being confirmed as the Messiah in Simeon's arms, we also see the eventual cost that this young baby will have to pay for the sake of all humanity. Let's keep reading in verse 34. "And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.'" We have lots of babies at Stanwich Church. If you ever go to the kids' wing, you will know very well that we are almost overrun by babies here. And I love hearing the coos and even the cries that happen sometimes during the service. And one of my favorite things is being able to witness all the baptisms that we do here at Stanwich Church. And while it is really tempting to just look at a cute baby, I am drawn to looking at the parents. Because you'll see as the pastor starts speaking these words over this precious little baby, there are some times when the parents are so filled with joy that they start to well up and tear up. And oftentimes, the pastor holding the baby will look at the little baby and speak words over them, using their namesake to say things like, "This baby will be a light. This baby will bring joy to the people in their lives." And while Simeon isn't a pastor or a religious leader, he's just an ordinary guy, he was speaking Holy Spirit-inspired words, just like a pastor during a baptism, to this little infant. Now imagine the absurdity and the shock if during one of these baptisms, the pastor's holding the baby and looks at the little baby and says, "This baby will be appointed for the fall and rising of many." Essentially, this baby will be loved by many, and this baby will be hated by many. Oh, and by the way, this baby is going to cause you immeasurable pain. Simeon, with his Holy Spirit inspired words, is foreshadowing how God's promise to humanity will be fulfilled. And it's not just that God would send his son to live amongst us in this broken world. He would also take on the pain of all sin and endure the most devastating, painful death of an innocent man to defeat sin and death once and for all by eventually rising from the grave so that all of us would have access to eternal life. This is a promise that has been fulfilled and can never be taken away from us. Even in periods of waiting, heartbreak, loss, celebration, this is a promise that we always have. God has proven himself to be a God who keeps his promise. Not just back then, but now. And what is incredible about our God is he didn't just give us one promise and stop there. He gave us a lot of promises that we can hold on to and brings us through until he comes again. These promises, if you are interested, read the Bible. There's a lot of them in there. They're incredible. And as we enter into this new year, I encourage you to think of what promise God wants for you this year. In fact, right now I'm going to read a few promises over you, ones that God has given to us that we know to be true. And as I read these promises, I want you to pay attention. If there is one that is sticking out to you this morning, is there a promise that you need to lean into this next year? Or is there a promise that you see that God has already delivered to you? Hear these promises as we enter into a new year. God promises to be with you. It says in Deuteronomy, "It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." God promises to give you rest. In Matthew, it says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." God promises to strengthen you. In Isaiah, it says, "But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." God promises you joy. In John, it says, "If you keep my commandments, I will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." God promises you eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God is a promise keeper, now and forever. Not just for everyone else, but for you. Amen.
To learn more about the mission and vision of Stanwich Church and how you can get involved, please visit stanwichchurch.org.